I'm not tired of it yet. Okay, maybe some people are.
I'm never tired of this, though.
That's fantastic. It is the Fast Lane. Chris Ronji, Jamie Rivers, Randy BTR Oot. We're going to talk to Brad Thompson a little bit later in this show, however, as we get an update on the Cardinals who won last night. But now that I have Jamie Rivers in for the afternoon, I am not over this championship, and I know none of you are over the championship yet, so we are extending the celebration even another day. I said last week, hey, baseball season starts on Monday, and then I thought, nah, you know what, it starts on Tuesday. Now that it's Tuesday, I said, you know what, I think it's going to start on Wednesday. Baseball season starts tomorrow here in St. Louis. We continue talking about the Blues. We will get into some Cardinals later on in the Fast Lane today. We do want to hear from you. You can text us throughout the show. The Hot Shots text line, 65780. We always welcome your mic drops as well. Download the 101 ESPN app. If you don't have it, it's free. Wherever you Apple people get your stuff, it's also in Google Play too. So download it. You can mic drop us if you have any thoughts. And we're going to do mic drops later in the show. But Jamie, you look great.
You
don't look
you
don't look like you are suffering or struggling at all. I know it's been a couple of days now, but the kind of hangover most of these guys must have, well, the ones who have stopped drinking by now, which is probably only some of the team. It looks like the rest of them are still going in Vegas, which is incredible. But for those of you who have quit for a while, you look great.
I'll take it. It's been amazing. You know, you talk about this parade, and you go over it in your mind of what it could be and what it might look like and all these things for years and years and years, and decades for that matter. Here we are, and it was an awesome time, and you know, certainly some beverages have been consumed, and good times have been had, and it's time to get back to work now, but still time to celebrate the whole thing as a whole. But yeah, I think some players are probably strapped up to some IV bags right now. They've got to get emergency hydration, possibly. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just kidding, people.
But well, it's
I'm sure it. Allegedly may have happened.
Have you ever done the IV?
I have.
How well does that work?
I didn't see a big difference. It feels really cold going in your arm at first, and it's kind of neat for like 10 seconds, and after that you're like, okay, I'm over it.
So well, I mean, it really is supposed to help you, but I guess it doesn't.
I guess not. Snake oil, too. They used to sell that, too, and say that it was a miracle cure. So I don't know.
Apparently that doesn't work either.
Apparently not.
But, I mean, I know that you've probably got the same emotions or similar emotions. Yours are a little bit different, though, I guess, because you've been in the organization, part of the organization for a long time. You played for them, you know, you bled out there, you sweat out there, you did, you know, you gave your body for it, and still being an ambassador for the team, still being associated with the team, doing all, by the way, really good job on all the pre and post game stuff. You were great.
Thank you, sir.
I thought you were really, really good. But just being so close to it, and you're always dreaming of it, thinking about what it might be like for this team to actually do it, you know, like to actually go through it and have it happen. Was it anything like what you thought?
It was better. I mean, you know, when you think about something like this happening, you're thinking of an obvious season where things were good, the team was built, and it's just been storybook from beginning to end. And I think this year it kind of caught everybody by surprise, because halfway through the season, we're not looking good. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're looking less than not looking good. And so fast forward a couple of months, and here we are in the playoffs, and then the Blues go past the first round. Big second round against Dallas. Obviously, game 7, double overtime, that whole thing, I mean, it's miraculous. So you're starting to feel like, maybe. Not sure, maybe. And as you finally get to that moment, you see that the Blues win the Stanley Cup, you're like, oh my God, it just happened. So it's kind of weird, because it kind of snuck up on you because it wasn't an obvious season for it. And so I think that makes it that much more special, because people were like, you know, kind of gradually picking up speed. And then all of a sudden it's like this big boom explosion at the end, like, oh my God, I can't believe it's finally happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fantastic feeling for the city of St. Louis, the people, the fans. I mean, just something I'll never forget. And hats off to the St. Louis Blues, the whole organization, for extending it to the alumni and people who've been part of the association for a long time. It was something, a privilege that was certainly appreciated.
I'm sure that it would feel equally as good right now if this had been a team like Tampa Bay. You were, you know, like next year, Tampa Bay's picked to be number one and win the cup. They got the best odds. If this team had been that team, expected to do it, and then you go through the run, and we talked about their expectations all season long. They were good all year. They finished with the most points. They win the President's Trophy. And then they roll through the playoffs, and then in the final, they actually win. I'm sure it feels as good, but does it feel different if it was a team that was supposed to dominate and they ended up doing it anyway? I wonder if it would feel at least somewhat different. Because now, and I still find myself doing this, thinking about last week, going, what the hell happened? This team, really? I can't believe they did it. But if they were a team expected to do it, and did it, how much different would it feel, do you think?
Well, like I said, I think it would have been, the expectation certainly would have been there all year about, you know, there would have been conversations, quiet conversations about, ooh, this might be the year, or whom, I wonder what the parade will look like. You know, you're not ordering the rings just yet, but you're like, maybe we'll check out some designs, you know? And that's where this year's so different for the St. Louis Blues is they had no idea, you know? And I think that exuberance and that elation and all that stuff, I don't even know if I'm using those words correctly. I'm just going to fire off anything because it doesn't matter right now.
Yeah, they're all fine.
Okay, they're good. All right, spell check me on that one.
Whatever you want to use is fine right now.
But my point is that when you reach that moment, and that's why I think the celebration was so amazing, is because these players, along with the fans and everybody, it really wasn't expected. So when it happens, it's so much greater, and the adrenaline, the intensity is so much greater. And then, you know, I heard you guys talking about on the crossover about the interaction between the players and the fans since it's all went down. I mean, those are guys that have been overcome with joy and so happy to share the moment with the fans and be a part of it. And just the stuff that's gone on, so uncharacteristic of some guys, too. Yeah, Colton Parayko's become a god in this city. I mean, 6'6", he's, you know, basically crowd surfing at Obie Clark's the one day, and you know, and then he's
bartending.
I mean, he couldn't stand on the bar because he probably would have got his head chopped off by the ceiling fans. Uh-huh. However, I'm sure he would have if he could have.
Yep.
But just awesome stuff like that. Ryan O'Reilly running around riding a bike, Jordan Binnington joining the marching band, and whatever else he did that day. I mean, the list goes on and on of
stuff.
He
rode a bike. A little tiny bike, little scooter.
Little scooter. He was with the flag band or the flag marchers in the band. Then he grabbed like a tuba. Then he played the drums.
I'm sorry, Jamie, let me correct you. It's a sousaphone.
Okay.
Because one time I called a sousaphone a tuba, and I had multiple people texting to tell me that it was a sousaphone, stupid. So I just want you to know.
So is it a sousaphone or a sousaphone, stupid?
Sousaphone, comma, stupid. They were calling me stupid.
Oh, okay. Yep. Now I get it. All right. Okay.
Yeah. But I thought that was a tuba. Forever, I thought that was a tuba. The thing that wraps around your body, that is not a tuba. That's a sousaphone. So there you go.
It always made me think of, like, when the Grinch Who Stole Christmas in the cartoon, that crazy tuba horn that they had there.
Yes.
And then I saw Jordan Binnington. I was like, oh, my God, it's the Grinch. But it wasn't.
What was your before we move on to, and we're going to talk about him in the next segment about what the Blues do next, because they probably should keep him. I don't know. What was your favorite thing in the parade? Favorite thing that happened?
There's so many. You know, for me, the favorite thing, I'll go right back to what I just mentioned, was the interaction with the fans, from the ownership that were riding along in the parade to the alumni, to the staff members, to you name it. And then obviously the cherry on top is the players. But the interaction that everybody had, the accessibility that the players, I don't want to say gave the fans, but that's what they did. The players gave the fans this whole other moment of just running around in the streets. Like, I've never seen that. I've seen guys get down and maybe run alongside the parade and high five and keep it kind of moving. Let's keep it moving here, you know? No. Not these guys. They're like, yeah, guess what? This is our day. We're going to do whatever we want. So hit the brakes. Watch out, Barbashev, because when we hit the brakes, you might go flying, which he did.
And it was Sammy Blay, right?
Sammy Blay had one,
because
too.
Because I think, from what I was told, did Steen get the drive for a bit?
Yeah. Steiner was in one of the fire trucks, from what I hear, and apparently the brakes
stopped
were touchy.
Short. Yes, he stopped a little
quickly. Yeah, stopped a little quickly, and then another time somebody hit the gas a little quickly, and players are, you know, lying around everywhere in the streets. But I think that, to me, is my favorite moment of, it's just such a celebration that there was just no rules at that point, but it was like the best ever.
And we did talk to Kelly Chase yesterday, who happened to be on one of the trucks that got lost in a parade. And we're going to talk to the driver of that truck, Chuck Steib, a little bit later on in this show. Somehow, I've never heard of it in my life. I've never heard of a truck or a float being lost in the middle of a parade, and his got lost. We want to find out how it happened and talk to him about that. We're going to do that later. That's Jamie Rivers. I'm Chris Ronji. The Blues right now have a goaltender. He is a Stanley Cup champion for the first time ever. His name is Jordan Binnington, but now he's got to get paid. We'll talk about that next in the Fast Lane, 101 ESPN. That audio from Sportsnet in Canada to our friendly neighbors up north. We love them all up there, including those from Ottawa. Jamie Rivers and Chris Ronji are with you on the Fast Lane today, 101 ESPN. And talking about Jordan Binnington, the Stanley Cup champion, Jordan Binnington, who is certainly going to be due a raise here moving forward, Jamie, for somebody who, let's see, barely made any money, relatively speaking, of course. He's in line for about $650 next year. I think that's what it is right now, but he's going to get a significant raise before the 2019-2020 season. So for what he did, and you could probably still make the argument, you don't know what he's going to be long term. You don't know if he's going to be great. We have seen times in the past where a goaltender looks great for a short period of time, half a season, does really well in the playoffs, and then falls off. But it's going to be difficult to really assess what he is going into next year. So I would be more than comfortable giving him a significant raise, because I do believe, like we just heard from Sportsnet, he has earned it. He has earned the raise for what he's done and what the Blues hope he's going to be.
Well, you got to look at it a number of ways. One, this is a unique situation, because you're not just going to base it off the salary he made this year, because that's just foolishness at this point. Now, however, that being said, there have been other goalies in the NHL. The one that comes to my mind is the Hamburglar, Andrew Hammond, back in the day with
Ottawa, right?
Excuse me, with the Ottawa Senators. Yeah. He came and I think he went like 24-1 or something silly like that down the stretch to get them in the playoffs. Ottawa rewarded him with a 3-year, like $9 million contract. And I'm sure I'm wrong on this, but I'm just to estimate that he only played a handful of games again ever in the NHL after that as a starter. And so he never panned out to be the guy that they thought he could be based off his big run. Now, Jordan Binnington, not only did he make a big run, he got the St. Louis Blues into the playoffs and carried them to a Stanley Cup championship. So that's a whole other animal within itself. Now, he also has arbitration rights.
Mm-hmm.
But what gets tricky there is the arbitrator is, I believe, only allowed to use the regular season as his measuring stick. So if you look at it, it's a small sample size of work there.
Right.
I mean, even though it's 30-some games played, great record, all this stuff, still sample size. You don't know what it could be. So based off of what his 10% raise is supposed to be, you know, it gets blurry on this one. So I think the St. Louis Blues have to get creative on this, along with Jordan Binnington and Mike Liut, another former Blue, great goalie. So goalies sticking
and that's
together,
his agency.
Apparently. Yes, yes. The goalie union, strong over there.
Mike Liut done real well for himself, by the way.
He has.
With Octagon.
He's done a great job. And this one here is going to be, like I said, it's unique. So Jordan Binnington is in a situation where he'll probably get a 2 to 3 year deal. I'd say probably 2 years at like somewhere between $2 and $2.5 million. And the way the Blues are going to get their brains around this one is that they have Jake Allen, I believe, at 4.3 for the next 2 years. And a lot of GMs now are looking at their goaltending tandem as a whole. If we can get somewhere around $7 million $7.5 million for both our goalies, our number one, our number two. That's a pretty good number to be for the salary cap. So if you do the math here, if he gets $2 million, 2.5 on the high end, you're looking at what, $6.3 million in your goaltending tandem. Obviously, Jake Allen is your backup goalie moving forward in that scenario. So you flip-flopped your salaries a little bit. It's a little weird, but you're still in that number that you want to be at. And Jordan Binnington still has work to do. I know that sounds crazy, but it is a short little span of work that he's got here. And I'm willing to, listen, I'm willing to name a street after him. I'm okay with that, okay? But in all things being fair here, the GM for the St. Louis Blues, Doug Armstrong, has to be very careful of where he just throws away dollars and cents.
It's because the salary cap is a thing. If the cap weren't a thing, they'd probably just give him whatever they feel like giving him. And not have to worry about this. But that's the only reason we're having this discussion. Because in a different world, and almost even in this world, I would rather them, and I think, look at it this way. If the Blues said, you know what, we appreciate everything you've done, and we're not going to pay you. We're not going to give you this significant raise. We're not doing it. Because, you know, we might be wrong on you. And then if we're stuck with this money that we've given to you and you're not as good as we think you're going to be, then we're going to be in trouble. If they did that, as opposed to just really, truly reward him for what he did, you're going to have many, many fewer people upset about the second way. No one's going to get upset if they give him a 3-year contract and were to give him, I don't know, $4 or $5 million per season. If they were to do that, which is a lot of money, if they were to do that, no one would be upset. It's the other way, though. You can't err the other way with him.
No, I understand what you're saying. I just think that you still have to be very, very cautious when you're managing a team. And Doug Armstrong has a huge job ahead of him with his staff because it is all about the dollars and cents, and it has to fit under the salary cap.
Right.
And like we said, if the salary cap didn't exist, well, it doesn't
blank
matter,
check
right?
The dude.
But guess what? It does exist, and it's very relevant. In fact, we were bumping up against that thing quite a bit last year to the point where we're one of the highest-paid teams in the league. Kudos to Tom Stillman for saying, hey, we're just going to go for it and sign these guys. But that being said, you can't just give another goalie $4 or $5 million here. And heaven forbid that Jordan Binnington comes back next year and he's not the same or – you know, he doesn't have the same success over the next 2-3 years, then what? You know, now you're committed to, I don't want to say bad contracts because they were very, very relevant at the time.
They made sense at the time and context, yeah.
Correct. So you'd have Jake Allen's contract that made sense at the time. Maybe it doesn't now mathematically. But then if you had two of them like that and neither of those make sense, now what? So you have to be very careful with that is all I'm saying. And in the same breath, as I talk out both sides of my mouth here, because I'm just going to do it because I have the mic and it's turned on and you're listening at least.
I'm definitely listening.
At least you are.
We have one person texting and listening too.
One. Perfect. Okay, I'll
take
it.
The person told us it was not a sousaphone, it was a trombone. So
it says sousaphone stupid. Oh, no, that was you.
Oh, yeah, sousaphone. That was
okay. But no, at the end of the day, it has to make sense. I think the Blues are going to want to get this done. They don't want to go to arbitration. I don't think either side does because I don't think he has much of a – not that he doesn't have much of a case, but there's such a small body of work. And they're not going to want to go down that path.
Right.
Let's just get it done. Let's say it's not a bridge deal because he's so many years into his career already. It's not like it's a bridge deal for this guy. But let's get a 2-year deal, say $5 million, 2 years. I think everybody's happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he made $750,000. This year. I think that's what it was.
I think it was $650,000. Well, let's see. If I'm looking at his 2018 salary, Spotrac says it was $650,000.
Okay. So he made $650,000 this year. That's a big raise. I think he's going to be okay. He doesn't need a home run. If he wants a home run, guess what? Keep playing the way you have.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at him right now. Yep, that's the salary he made in 2018. I would think you'd have to be happy with that, but and it depends on the agency. But they do have a good working relationship with the Blues because they've got a number of players. So they're not going to – I don't think they're going to extort the Blues on this because they understand that he wasn't in the plans. He was the fourth string guy. it worked out great. He did great in that time, but there's got to be a little bit of, hey, let's be prudent about this. We want to reward the kid as best we can, but we have to be careful too, because we've got a team to keep together. And the question is he willing to go along with that?
I think he is. I mean, why would Jordan Binnington right now, why would he want to be anywhere but St. Louis? If we just stop and think about that, let's take dollars and cents out of the equation, and let's just say, how do you feel? Would you like to be in St. Louis or would you not? He just won a Stanley Cup here. He's riding mini bikes around. He's with the marching band. He's playing a sousaphone, okay, doing whatever he wants right now. He is Jordan Winnington.
Yes.
See, he's feeling
showing emotion.
He's feeling it, right?
Yes.
Why would he want to leave?
Well, I would think that you're in this business because this is a business, whether or not you like it, and you like to hear that as a fan. It is a business. These guys are here to make money. This is their profession. So while the goal for you is to make a living and the kind of living you want to, it's also to be in a position that's comfortable for you. So I would think the last thing he wants to do is go to another organization and try to recreate all this. Not now. Maybe, you know, after his next contract is up, if he's still playing great and he really wants to cash in on that, then you go do it. But I think for right now, you would want to stay in a comfortable position.
Yeah, I've been in both situations as a player where you're looking for the dollars and cents and you're trying to squeeze a few extra bucks in. And I can tell you that the grass is not always greener on the other side. And for a guy like Jordan Binnington, who's had a tough road from the beginning here, and he's fought his way up through the ranks and refused to go away quietly, and now here he is, a Stanley Cup champion, and the city of St. Louis is just loving this guy. Why would he go somewhere else? Like you said, try to duplicate this somewhere else right away? That's just not, doesn't sound reasonable.
After really just a few months of time here.
Yeah, it doesn't sound reasonable. So I think they're going to find a nice landing pad somewhere around the $2 million mark, and everybody leaves happy, and they all go smoke their Stanley Cup stogies.
That's Jamie Rivers, who didn't bring me a stogie. I'm Chris Ranji. This is the Fast Lane, and hockey isn't the only thing happening today, believe it or not. But there has been some hockey stuff. We'll get into that and the Cardinals. Hot topics of the day next on 101 ESPN. The Redbirds have been playing some pretty good baseball here over the last week or so. And with a win last night, a shutout of the Miami Marlins, they will continue at Busch Stadium. It'll be Jack Flaherty and Yamamoto. That'll be your starting matchup for tonight. We'll talk to Brad Thompson, a member of the Fast Lane, who is on the call tonight with Danny Mac on Fox Sports Midwest. He'll be joining us here shortly in the Fast Lane. Jamie Rivers and Chris Ranji with you for the afternoon, as we've been discussing a lot of hockey, but we're going to talk Cardinals in just a little bit. Speaking of hockey stuff that has actually happened, a couple of things. One, last night we get the news about Erik Karlsson of the Sharks. He gets a pretty healthy extension, 8 years, $11.5 million with San Jose, Jamie.
How is he going to make ends meet now?
I don't know.
I mean, talk about living paycheck to paycheck, right?
Right.
Oh, my.
This poor guy. How is he ever going to do it? But for somebody who, and I actually like Erik Karlsson quite a bit, didn't like him during that series. I'm not too awfully concerned that his groin was bothering him and he wasn't at 100% against the Blues when they played in the Western Conference Final. But this contract, it seems like a lot. It seems like a heck of a commitment. Is it a good thing for San Jose or not?
It's tough. That's 8 years.
It's a long time.
That's a long time. And
is
this guy
8 years good?
Well, that's the thing, is this guy in the last couple of years, he's had some pretty big injuries, to where I think it was his Achilles tendon the 1 year in Ottawa that went out on him, and he kind of battled through it, or his ankle, I think is what it was. And then this year he's had a couple of injuries. Like, the sad thing is that you do start to get older, and you do start to get those miles on you, and he plays half the game no matter where he's played. He's played 23, 24 in Ottawa, like 27, 28 minutes a game. What, 8 more years of this? $11 million a year? I know it's probably market value, because that's the word they love to use, is market value. I get it, but my God, that's an awful lot of money.
It is a crazy amount of money. It's not the only thing that's happened, though, now. The New York Rangers have picked up Jacob Trouba from the Winnipeg Jets. They give up a 20th overall pick, Neil Pionk. Is that how you say it?
Pionk.
Pionk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyway, they'll pick in. And by the way, the draft is this week, which is absurd to me. Stanley Cup happens, and then like a week later, 8 days later.
Well, you have the awards.
Yeah, the awards tomorrow night,
and then the draft on Friday. It's nuts.
Your hockey off season is 2.5 weeks.
Well, how about the people, the staff? Like, yes, they're all enjoying the Stanley Cup run, like Doug Armstrong and his hockey operations staff. Think about that. They're just drinking champagne out of the cup. They probably still are. Wherever the cup is, might still be sipping some champagne out of that thing. Yet they're somewhere for a couple hours a day, bottled up in a room going, okay, what are our options here? Draft picks one through whatever, and then contracts are coming up, unrestricted free agency. Like, it just hits you, wham, right in the face.
No wonder it's so hard to repeat.
It is, for sure. For sure. Between that and the players who now, what you have to remember is, they're 3 to 4 weeks from being healthy, depending on what injury they had. But even if it's just a little torn groin or a back or a knee, just something, you're 3 to 4 weeks before you can work out 100%. Think about that. That leaves you a month to get in shape.
It is. I used to joke about that all the time, that the Stanley Cup happens, it ends, and then like 3 weeks later, training camp starts. It's just an absurdly short amount of time. I really don't know how hockey players do it.
It's not easy.
And especially if you're somebody who, and this is a sport that we don't talk about it enough, even though you see the injuries a lot, the concussions happen a lot. And that is a thing that for some people can take a really, really, really long time to get over. You barely have enough time to recover from an achy shoulder or an achy knee. How do you come back from a concussion?
It's tough. I mean, you have to trust the doctors, and you have to trust the people that are paid to take care of you. You know, from head to toe, bumper to bumper, you got to trust everybody that's doing their job. And it is hard. It's difficult to get ready for that next season. It's going to be interesting to see how Craig Berube, because he will be the head coach. So people who before, well, he's not the head coach yet. He will be the head coach. No doubt about that.
They're going to take that tag off him, you think?
I think it's safe to say that it's probably already been removed. Now it's just a matter of how many more years they're going to give him here.
What if the Blues are like, hey, look, Craig, we're looking at our options. You're on our list. It's a short list, but we want to see what else is out there.
You know what? Just for fun, let's play this game. Craig Berube would say, okay, no, I get it. I understand. Hey, you got it, man. No worries. Hang up the phone, call his agent, and say, send an email out to every team in the league saying I'm available. Watch how fast somebody fires their coach just to hire Craig Berube. It's happened before. It's happened in midstream. Guys are like, yeah, everything's great. We're looking forward to next season. Yeah, we're firing our coach. Why? Well, because so-and-so became available. That would happen. It would be that fast.
And there is no chance that Tom Stillman, this ownership group, and the front office allow that to happen.
They're not going to allow that to happen. We're just being silly here. And Craig Berube loves it here. He loves the ownership, loves the team. We've all gone through too much together, Chief. You can't leave us.
He's not going anywhere. This is great. I can't wait until they take
it. But it will be interesting to see how he handles training camp. How does he handle it going in next year? Because these guys have got no rest. You can't approach it like you usually do. You can't say, hey, guys, guess what? It's going to be tough. It's going to be grind. All the testing. Make sure you're there. Make sure you're testing this high. You can't do that.
I think he did a really nice job when they had a pretty compacted schedule for a while, and then you get into the playoffs, knowing when to give guys days off.
Yeah, but this is different.
It is different.
Because contrary to what anybody wants to believe, this same team will never be back again. Guys will be either traded or not signed, or new guys will be on board. It's never going to be the same. So now you have a new blend of guys, whoever's coming in or whatever you've replaced guys with. Well, they're going to be expecting a real training camp. But these guys have just finished. We've seen the battles that they went through to get to this point. So Craig Berube is going to have to really navigate this to take care of his players who went so long into the postseason, yet still have a competitive training camp to give new guys and young guys a chance to make the roster. Tricky.
They'll figure it out.
It's a nice problem to have. Don't get me wrong. I'll take this option over anything else.
Every year.
I'll take it every year. That's Jamie Rivers. I'm Chris Ronji. This is the Fast Lane. Cardinals and Marlins again tonight from Busch Stadium. Our buddy Brad Thompson is on the call on Fox Sports Midwest, and he joins us next on 101 ESPN. Oh, they did it again. Cardinals with a win against the Marlins at home. Nice way to start the homestand, which is going to culminate this weekend with an appearance by, what's that dude's name? Albert Pujols. That's right. He's going to be in town over the weekend. But right now, the Marlins are here, and the Cardinals, who won last night? Yeah, it was the Birds. That's who won. Joining us now, Jamie Rivers, Chris Ronji on the Fast Lane, is a guy who's normally in that chair over there where I'm pointing. It's Brad Thompson, but he is better than us. So he's on the call on Fox Sports Midwest with Danny Mac. Can't hang out. He's got a job to do, a more important job, and he's with us now on 101 ESPN on the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line. Hello, BT.
What's going on, fellas? Just know this, Ronj. I miss you guys terribly today. As I sit here, nice bird's eye view of Busch Stadium, early BP. It's a beautiful day. I miss you the most.
Okay, well, we all miss you. And right. BT, I know.
Hey, how's Jamie doing? Jamie, you survived that parade?
I'm alive and well, buddy. I appreciate your concern.
He looks.
Oh, man, it's so good.
Hey, Thompson, he looks great. He doesn't look at all like he was on a bender.
I don't fully believe that, but I love. Sure, he looks great, but I also believe that he was probably on a bit of a bender. But you know, whatever.
Who do you think had a bigger bender, you in 06 or
Jay?
Yep, you're 100% right. It was definitely Brett Hull.
I mean, we did go Blues.
Who didn't? I mean, if you don't like to go blue, forget it.
Hey, real quick, BT, you watched some of the parade, I'm sure. I know you had family stuff going on, but you got to see what was happening on Saturday. What'd you think?
Dude, I thought it was incredible. The scene, first of all, was unreal. It was like monsoon weather in the morning, as you guys know, and then the skies open up. It ends up being a beautiful day. And to me, the biggest thing that I loved seeing was how much the players, Jamie, you guys and the alumni, everybody just interacted with the fans. People getting out of their vehicles, taking pictures with baby, giving hugs, having everybody touch the cup. That was such a cool scene and so well done, you know, by the Blues, by each and every guy, man. They nailed it. It was cool.
You know, what was cool about it, the whole thing, BT, is, you know, it's one thing for the alumni and for ownership and people who have been around for a long time to, you know, go out of their way and do that kind of stuff. But looking at the current players, it was really neat to see them recognize as it was happening that this was something that they needed to do, or they felt they needed to do, was interact with the fans and celebrate and do all that stuff we talked about. And that was all on their own. So it's amazing to see them, you know, grasp the moment and actually realize how much it meant for St. Louis.
That is cool, man. And because we've talked about this in the past, Jamie, and you know, it's not the drought that the Blues had of not winning a Stanley Cup. That wasn't the current players' burden. You know, that it was not their fault that the history of the Blues is what it is. But it's certainly not lost on them either. And they know and they knew what it meant as they were going through it. They certainly knew what it meant after they won the cup, and you could tell it was very evident that each one of them, to a man, you know, took that personally upon themselves and got it out there to as many people as they could, that how appreciative they were of all the support. And you know, Jamie, how many people have spent, you know, every last dime they have going to Blues games, and year after year, I mean, it's kind of been the same story until this year. I thought the guys nailed it, and they really understood.
Well, thanks for bringing up the past, BT. I appreciate that very much, having
been
one of those teams that couldn't get it done. I appreciate that, buddy.
Well, you know, we've all been on teams that haven't got it done, you know, Jamie. There's only one that is happy, and you just didn't happen to be on that one.
At least somebody around here has got a ring on, whatever.
Just wondering how long he was going to go down that road. I'm like, okay, BT, I was starting to feel good about myself, too.
Man.
Just the years and years of sadness.
BT, what we're all hoping is that we get to have another parade this year. And I know it's not looking great at the moment. Well, actually, the team is playing really well over about the last week. They've looked really good. They've
had quite a bit of offense. The Cardinals win again. They've played some teams who are a little downtrodden, but still, right now, they're taking care of business against teams they're supposed to beat.
Well, talk about years and years of sadness. The Marlins right now, woof. I mean, it ain't looking so good for these guys. And you're right. The Cardinals are taking advantage of a bit of schedule right now that they should be taking advantage of. And the starting pitching at home has been fantastic. And Miles Michaelis last night was great. They got some clutch hits. I don't know if I've seen a bunt double in the way that we saw it yesterday from Matt Carpenter, so that was fun. But you're right, the Cardinals are playing good baseball. They've won 4 of 5. They've won the last 6 of 8. Things are going well. They're only 2.5 games out right now, which after the month of May they had, to me, is absolutely incredible. And they got things going the right way. The goal is to keep it going the right way. And if it weren't for a Dexter Fowler picking up his team big time with a 3-run bomb. That was a tight game last night until late. You had two guys get on. You had Carpenter and DeJong get hits. And then Goldie flies out to right. And then you have Ozuna gets out on a soft liner, 3-0. And you're thinking, oh, man, here we go, missed opportunity. And Dexter comes up big. So, to me, once again, the offense is still the part of this team that I believe needs to get going the most. Certainly the starting pitching needs to be better on the road. But so far, so good on this homestand, and it's time to take advantage of the Marlins yet again tonight.
Yeah, BT, it's so important for baseball teams and teams in general, but since we're talking about the Cardinals, it's so important for them to capitalize on teams that we would consider lower than them in the pecking order here. And, you know, they find themselves 2.5 games back right now of the Brewers. Just how important are these games against lower teams in order to not just keep pace with their division, but to stay on track?
Yeah, I think they're huge. And I know that the cliche is, you know, every night is the most important night. But for the Cardinals, they got to take care of business. And I know that nobody in this division has necessarily pulled away. I mean, you would think that with the May that the Cardinals had, that somebody would, and it just hasn't happened. But if the Cardinals don't play their best baseball, they're not going to beat the Cubs, and they're not going to beat the Brewers either, even though both of those teams have some holes. So to be able to take advantage of this part of the schedule is going to set them up for later when the schedule ends up getting tougher. And they've had some tough parts of the schedule already, but look, it keeps you afloat when the times get tough, when you make these type of games lopsided. So I think every single game is important, but certainly taking advantage of this part is.
Another quality start for Miles Michaelis. He had one this time. I know he went a couple of starts without doing so, but if you look at the body of work for him over about the last five starts, most of them have been quality starts. Are we seeing what we need to be seeing out of him? Is it enough for Miles Michaelis lately?
Yeah, I think so. And look, we know what Miles is. And that last night was vintage Miles Michaelis. He doesn't have to punch out the world. He gets tons of ground balls. It was a lot of weak contact. He didn't walk anybody. We had an entire baseball game, gentlemen, last night in the year 2019, and we didn't have a walk on either side, which is magical. We didn't see that. But that's what Miles does. He pounds the strike zone. So I would say yes. I think that Miles is where you'd like him to be. Now, one thing that you would like to see, and this is Miles, this is Jack Flaherty, this is Adam Wainwright, this is Michael Wacha, does struggle on the road. And I don't know what the reason is, but at home, just at home, Cardinal starters ERA is a 3-2-1. That is not only respectable, it's awesome. On the road, it's a 5-6-1. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how they fix it. But overall, as a team, a 5-6-1 on the road is not going to cut it. But Miles Michaelis looked great last night. And you're right. I mean, most of his outings, and he's had a couple that he'd like to throw away. His last one against the Marlins, he ended up giving up 5-4 of them, one swing of the bat by Garrett Cooper. And then he had the really, really bad one in Texas. But overall, Miles Michaelis has been very good. And I think that game yesterday is exactly what you want to see out of Miles each time out.
And that's the thing. If you go back and look at his 6 starts, those that have been quality have been really, really good. But those that have not been have been kind of bad. I mean, that 5 innings,
yep,
5 runs, 4 innings he only went the time before that, his first start in June. So it's kind of been a – there's been a pretty significant difference between the good and bad for him lately.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that happens sometimes when you just, if you're not on, then you can be way off. I generally had games like that. Now, Miles Michaelis is way more talented than I am. But some days when things went awry, they went awry quickly. And you look at the last game against the Marlins. Well, I don't, and I'm not talking about last night, 5 days previous in Miami. When you go back and watch the game, I don't think Miles threw that bad. Now, he made some mistakes. But the inning where he ended up giving up the grand slam, it was a couple of base hits, both of them just butt out, just sticking the bat out there and getting them out of the outfield. He ended up walking a guy and then a big mistake to Garrett Cooper. But overall, he threw the ball a little bit better. So I'm not necessarily concerned about a game like that. But it would be nice to have the middle ground, right, to have a game where it's just like, ah, that was okay, as opposed to the blow-up one. But I think that Miles is in a really good place.
So, BT, fast-forwarding into tonight's game, Jack Flaherty takes the mound. And looking at his numbers, 81 strikeouts here, leading by 20 strikeouts on the nearest Cardinal pitcher close to him. What are some of the things Jack Flaherty needs to focus on to make sure that consistently, every time he starts, he's giving this team a chance to win?
You know what? We all know that, I mean, just to your point right there, talking about the strikeouts, Jack has swing and miss stuff. I mean, he is really talented. His slider is wipeout. He can spot up his fastball. I mean, he's great. One thing that I think, and we've talked about this a little bit, Ronj, with Jack Flaherty, is sometimes it appears as if he's hunting for the strikeout. Like, he's out there thinking, all right, well, I'm going to punch out the world, which is great, but when you do that, your pitch count gets elevated, and you end up working harder and harder. You're throwing more pitches than you need to. He does not do a great job of getting outs early in counts. I mean, very few at-bats see three pitches or less, even four pitches or less. He just gets deeper into counts. Now, he has success. Guys don't barrel him. I mean, he doesn't give up too many barreled balls, but when the pitch count gets elevated for Jack Flaherty, it gets tougher and tougher for him to get deeper into games. That's what I would love to see. I'd love to see him, even when he gets to two strikes, don't nibble. Keep pounding the zone, compete, make him put the ball in play.
BT, have you seen the Marlins man or no?
I haven't seen him yet.
Oh, of course not.
Do you know if he's here? Did he text Meat pictures of his cat?
Oh, I don't know. I'm hearing that he's sending text messages to Meat, so I'm wondering if he's in town.
Here, you know, I would love to see the Marlins, man. But, I mean, he's big time now. He's at playoff games and all this stuff. So
I feel like
I don't know if he's going to stop by here.
I feel like he only goes to games that are not Marlins games now. He goes to every game except for Marlins.
Here's what I understand about Marlins, man. And maybe it's just the fact that that's who he is and that's the only way he's recognized ever. But, I mean, the Marlins basically shunned him. And he might not go to their games anymore, but he still reps them all the time, and he's Marlins. Man, he should figure out a way to separate himself, in my opinion.
Well, if he wants to be noticed, you can go with the safety orange camo. Like, go to Walmart, get the safety orange vest and bright orange hat.
You always see that guy. Or the highlighter yellow is a good look as well.
Well, but then you'll blend in with the sports service people, you know, the vendors.
But then what do you call him after that? Just glow-in-the-dark guy? Not Marlins guy?
Well, that scene.
You know, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, what do you call him then?
Rebrand himself.
You got to rebrand himself. And I can't believe we didn't see him at the parade. I figured for sure the Marlins man would have been at the parade.
Maybe the best thing the Blues did all weekend was not give him a float.
Do you think that he asked? Do you think that he reached out?
Oh.
Hey, guys, just so you know, I'm in town, and I would totally be willing to go on a float if, in fact, you guys would like me to.
BT, if he's sending Meat unsolicited text messages like once a week for no damn reason, you better believe he reached out to the Blues.
I got to be honest with you guys. I was blown away by the Marlins man text message string to Meat. I mean, there are pictures of
cats.
All of his cats, long messages, and I really did believe that Meat was probably asking for these. But this was a one-sided conversation by the looks of things.
Like, texts Meat anyways? Just, I mean, come on.
Whoa.
I mean, yeah, hey, come on, Jamie.
I text Meat.
Hey.
Meat's our people.
Poor Meat. Hey, BT, call us a winner.
We will work on that this evening. We'll definitely have some fun. And you guys hold it down for the next couple hours.
We'll do our best. Thanks, buddy.
See you, fellas.
That is Brad Thompson. He's on the call tonight with Danny Mac on Fox Sports Midwest. Again, he is, He's up here, Jamie. We are down here because he's doing television for the Cardinals.
I'm very blessed sometimes to be able to share the studio with Brad Thompson. I get to catch a glimpse of him, and once I actually touched his blazer.
Wait, really?
It's quite incredible.
Was that awesome? Nice.
It was awesome.
Well, something even more awesome usually is fighting Randy Carricker in the 4 o'clock fight. But today, this is a special edition of the 4 o'clock fight. You get to fight Jamie Rivers. That's next on 101 ESPN.